listening to the Simple Worship Podcast, recorded each week at University Christian Church in Fort Worth, Texas. To learn more about our services, ministries, and outreach opportunities, please visit universitychristian.org.
So throughout the Gospels, Jesus has this line he uses several times. You may have heard of it. The hour has not yet come. My time has not yet come. Something to this effect. You hear that over and over and over until the time has come. And maybe you'll hear that in our text today. So just for context, before getting to John chapter 12, this is kind of Jesus's last week before he's crucified. So he's began the week entering into Jerusalem along with hundreds of thousands of other Jews who are coming to celebrate the Passover festival. His feet have been anointed with expensive perfume, and it's, for all intents and purposes, a holy week, a special week, and yet he has business as usual on his agenda. And so he has some words for his disciples as he's heading into this final week. And so I invite you to receive these words today, however is best for you. Sometimes for me, I like to close my eyes and kind of visualize what's being read. Sometimes I like to close my eyes and just listen so I'm not distracted by what I'm seeing. Sometimes I like to look outside. So for whatever that is for you, I invite you to take that posture and to receive this reading from the Good News according to John, chapter 12, verses 20 to 33. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." So Philip went and told Andrew, and then Andrew told Philip, went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will be my servant also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now this is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. Here ends the reading. We are limited as humans. We cannot do everything we wish we could do. We do not always have the ability to do everything we want to do. And sometimes this is a good thing. Sometimes this is a God-honored thing that we can't really do everything we want to do. And so we're kind of grounded. We recognize we have limits. And other times it's a little frustrating because we want to be able to do more. Or we wish we could have a different kind of ability or opportunity for ourselves. So there's kind of this balance of like, sometimes it's helpful and sometimes it's hard. But here are some areas where each of us might be limited. Maybe we're limited in our physical body's abilities. Maybe it's from our family of origin, whatever dynamics that might hold for each of us, there's limits there. Maybe it's the limits of whatever relationships we're in, whether it's singleness or marriage or significant other relationships, long-term partnerships, whatever those significant relationships are in our lives. Maybe it's our intellectual capacity, our talents, our material wealth, our time, our work realities, or just any other aspects. Individually, we each all have certain limits of what we're able to do. If you don't really know what your own personal ones are, as a community at University Christian Church, we also have limits. We've had limits even just in this last 6 months. We've lost some loved ones. We've lost maybe a building as we once knew it and our ability to walk around that building. We've had some ministers who've left or who've started new jobs or who've gone on sabbatical. There's just been transition here, and we've faced limits and loss in these spaces. So whether it's personal or communal, our life is filled with limits. Our life is filled with loss. That's part of being human. And Jesus talks about that today. In two verses, 24 and 25 especially, he says this, "Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies and it's in the earth, it will bear much fruit." And so there's just kind of this counterintuitive message Jesus is saying. See, for us as humans, death is death. Death is like cessation of life. It's over, it's done. Nothing can come from death because death is death. But it seems in this story that Jesus is telling, it seems in the reality that he lives in, death can lead to something else. Death can lead to something good, something like new life. It doesn't really make sense, but I just like this comparison of these kind of two different grains in this story. There's the grain that, well, it's just on the surface of the earth. It fell and it died and that was it. And then there's the grain that, whether it was planted or someone put it in there or it just naturally fell into the cracks of the earth, when it died, it was able to bear new life. It was given some water. It was given some sun. It grew into a plant that bared much fruit. So it seems that loss and limits in God's kingdom leads to transformation and new life. He continues, "Those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life." It seems to Jesus that when we lose our lives to something with purpose within this reality of God's reign, within the way of Christ, that new things can happen. New life is always possible in death as it leads to in God's kingdom. And so we're always going to have loss. We're always going to, especially if we're following Jesus, we're going to live a life of loss. To follow Jesus is to learn how to die and to let go of things. But this leads to life abundant. Now, I got to be honest. I don't really love loss. I don't love limits. I don't think many of us do. It's not really fun or enjoyable to recognize where we're limited in life or where we have hardships. It's not really even something very enjoyable. In fact, it's painful. And a lot of us have tendency to kind of avoid pain and try to distance ourselves from pain and from hardship. And that's fair. Like, that's not necessarily something we want to obviously seek out and find on our own. But it will happen. So what do we do? How do we handle loss and limits in our lives? There's this guy, Peter Scazzaro. He's an author and a church pastor in Queens, New York, and he has written some curriculum called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. And in these books, he argues our level of spiritual growth will only match our emotional health, and that these two aspects are inherently interconnected. That as we grow spiritually, we'll be limited by our emotional health, and as our emotional health rises, our spiritual health might also rise. And so that these two aspects are key to what it means to be human and to grow and to flourish. So he has a couple of quick tips to offer us today as we consider embracing our loss and our limits. First, he says we have to pay attention. We have to pay attention to what's going on inside, our feelings, our thoughts, the things that we're experiencing. Pay attention. We've got to pay attention to ourselves and to be willing to be okay with whatever's going on in here. We also need to wait in the confusing in-between and recognize that our loss and our grief, there's no quick fix for it. There's no immediate change. In fact, it's a process of learning to embrace our loss and our limits. And as we do that, we might further into what might come next. If anything, we don't know what comes after experiencing it, but we can try to be okay in the in-between. Two more here. Climb the ladder of humility. Climb the ladder of humility. Humility is a downward ladder. We don't get to climb it going up. We have to climb it going down. And so learning to be humble and to be grounded, embracing a humble posture. And lastly, let old things burst into new and hope that in one day, in God's timing, in the world's timing, in your timing, whatever it might loss or limits might have been, to embrace something good can come from this. And surrendering that to God and saying, God, I don't know what's happening in this space. I don't know what's going on here, but I hope for new life. I hope that you bring a new presence into my world and that this hardship, this loss, this limit might be birthed into something that would bear much fruit. So in this season of Lent, we're naturally kind of just highlighting loss and limits. We're highlighting practices of letting go of certain things that we can embrace new life in other areas, that we might experience more of God, God's presence. So because we're invited to believe this, we can believe that God's kingdom allows for new life from death. So let's embrace our limits. Let's embrace our loss. Let's turn to God in these hardships and say, God, meet me here. I want to experience more of you. I want to see new life and new growth in this space. So that's some words from Jesus today. May they meet us where we're at, and may we go forward believing that new life is possible.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Simple Worship Podcast. If you enjoyed today's sermon, please subscribe to this podcast and share it with others. To learn more, please visit universitychristian.org.